General Taylor.
Hello, Mr. President.
How are you?
How are you, sir?
Fine, thank you. General, I'm sitting here talking to Bob McNamara. And here's what we're confronted with. A defense budget probably 65 to 70 billion.
Yes.
Compared to 49 last year.
Yes.
Perhaps some expression from the Congress on policy, either reaffirming their previous expression or some new one. The man on the street really feels that we have not done enough on the political side, and that our diplomatic moves have been totally inadequate. The present poll this week, Gallup shows that 43% believe that our diplomatic efforts have been inadequate. Now, we're going to walk into the lion's den with our own people, and I would not say this to many men, but I can say it to you in confidence that I feel a good deal of the ice cracking under me and slipping on the domestic scene. Election coming up, every man going up to his congressman saying, what's going to happen to my boy? Why can't you get us out of there? And why haven't you tried to do this? So on and so forth. Now, here's the situation we're in. We've had 4 days beginning 5 o'clock in the morning without bombing North Vietnam. As far as we can tell from the targets that we have lined up, we could stand 4 more without any great military danger. Whether we might have a couple more bridges in operation, or we might have some target that we should have hit that we didn't hit. But we believe that we could go New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. We think that it would be a good time to say to the Soviet that you've been talking about can't do anything when you're bombing North Vietnam. Now, we've told you, we haven't bombed it in 4 days. And unless there's some catastrophe or something unusual happens, we won't bomb it for at least another 4. And if we could get anybody really interested in doing anything, and they had any influence on the Chinese or on the North Vietnamese, why, we could extend it longer than that. But if there's anything you can do or want to do or will do, now's the time to do it, and we're listening. And we just wonder if you're listening, and if you're listening, what you hear. We think the odds are 95 to 5, I do, that nothing would happen. But we would be able to say to the doubting Thomases, and a good many of them in the Senate, and the 43% of the American people, we paused for 5 or 6 days last year, and they didn't do anything about it. And we paused for 11 or 12 days this year, and they didn't do anything about it. And we have gone the last mile. We've searched every way we know of. And we think that we can do it now with less danger and less trouble than we can later. And we think that we need it now to get the support and the unity back home that we could get. Now, I'm going to ask Bob to go in the office and get on this other phone. I want to get your, right here, Bob, this door right here, and pick up the line two. I want to get your unvarnished judgment with the bark off. Just tell me exactly what your reaction is. I know you haven't been one. You've felt, as I have felt, that a pause was not dictated this time. And it wasn't essential. But in the light of this, give it to me with the bark off. What do you think?
I was talking this over with Mac this afternoon, Mr. President, and I told him this, and I will say to you, sir, have been opposed to the pause as a formal announced effort to see what the enemy would do, feeling that it would be futile, and actually create conditions under which they could hardly respond even if they wanted to.
So have I. That's been my feeling.
But I would say this, that if you feel that a pause is almost inevitable, this is the best time to do it. That if we're ever going to have a pause for checking this thing out, and furthermore for allaying the criticism, which I have certainly found as I have moved around the country, this is the best time for it. I think the danger of being trapped is less. I think that the danger of disappointing our people who have been looking forward for some many times without justification for something rather miraculous to come from a pause, I think the after effect would be less. So that while I agree with General Westmoreland, the cable that he has sent in, that from a military point of view, he ought to get on with his business, that from the domestic point of view and the international political point of view, that if you feel, as I suspect you do, and I feel to some degree, that we need to lay once and for all the idea that a pause will solve our problems, this may be the best time to do it.
What signal would you give besides the Soviet?
That's what I don't know, sir, because I don't know what has taken place. I gather that we certainly should tell them that now we're trying out what they have suggested, and we're prepared to let this go a few days. But what I would be afraid of is they might come in late and then say, well, give us another week or two, and we might work something out. I think we have to put some finite period on this and our own thoughts, even though we don't see it out.
I would put January the 2nd on it.
I would say that you can weigh the political aspect better than anyone. And if you feel a need for this, let's do it now.
I do feel a need for it. I do feel a need for it, but I'm distressed that I'm distressed by messages like this one from Sharp. I've indicated the disadvantages of the continued stand down of Rolling Thunder and recommended immediate resumption. Westmoreland made a plea for resumption, notes the decrease in strike sorties in the last 3 months. He requests pressure on North Vietnam be increased.
Yeah.
I have recommended program for Rolling Thunder designed steadily to increase the pressure on North Vietnam. These programs would drastically reduce the flow on military supplies reaching North Vietnam and hence the Viet Cong. The armed forces of the United States should not be required to fight this war with one arm tied behind their backs. I urgently recommend that Rolling Thunder commence immediately and the target programs I've recommended be approved. Signed, Sharp.
Well, sir, I think that's all right as far as it goes, but my own thought was try this out. For the internal political purposes you have in mind, and then let's go back and hit them just as hard as Sharp suggests.
Well, I'd hit them harder after I go back.
Even the contrast of the lull could be psychologically more painful, I think, to those on the receiving end.
Yes, I think that's right. I think they'd know that we were there, and I don't think it would be showing too much weakness if we were 4 or 5 days during this period of Christmas holidays and New Year's Eve, I think you can be a little better there than you normally expect to be.
It won't, sir, if we're absolutely sure in our mind we won't get trapped in this by some late move on their part. Say, well, now let this drag a little longer. Perhaps we might get around to it.
I'm sure in my own mind I wouldn't yield to it, but what I'm worried about, am I endangering the lives of my men out there?
I don't think so. Not from a military point of view, I don't think that this will make any serious difference if they're talking about 5 or 6 days or a week. It's really the effect that you may encounter, Mr. President, if as you approach the end of this, something turns up and then all the world starts pressing, well, now maybe they mean business, maybe they don't. But the immediate military impact I would dismiss as a great consideration.
And on balance, you would do what?
I believe, sir, if I were in your position, and if I, rather reading between the lines, what you feel is the requirement at home, I would let this thing drag without putting any time on it, being willing just to watch for the next 4 or 5 days, giving no suggestion of any terminal point. Because if we do, of course, that would suggest to the enemy at least, let's step up the infiltration, let's do all these things which they might do with comparative safety. And furthermore, if I did that, I would keep the reconnaissance over North Vietnam, but not actually dropping the bombs.
Bob, what do you want to observe?
Nothing, Mr. President. I think that covers all the points that I would like to have asked Max.
Thank you, General. You've been a great comfort all through this thing, and I appreciate very much your advice.
Well, Mr. President, I know your problems, sir. I'm always at your disposition.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas, Max.
Thank you, Bob.